morning, we were Nishmas Tzipor B'Shem David Yehuda Levi. See, there are many elderly people in this neighborhood, people who can't light themselves. So I have an idea. You'll go to their house, you'll light for them, and who's going to make the bracha? So let's say they're not fully able to make the bracha, whatever, they don't know the words, maybe it's an elderly woman, she doesn't know how to read Hebrew. Can you go to their house, light the candles for them, and make the bracha for them? Yes or no? Shliach, you're their shliach. No?
Yes.
Yes. You're saying you could go there. Let's say they're upstairs when you light. They don't even see you lighting. They give you permission, of course, but they're not even there. Can you make the bracha for them? No, maybe. Yes, no, maybe. Okay. So Minhage Isaac Turnow, which was one of the earlier Minhag Ashkenaz, cites the Marach Ar Zarua, who says, what about by Kiddushin? You want to get married to a woman, but you know you're too embarrassed, I guess, to go over to her and ask her yourself. So you go over, you give your friend, or your friend's going to be your shliach for you. He's going to go over and he's going to give her the Kiddushin for you. And who's going to make the bracha? He's going to make the bracha for you, the friend who's being the shliach. Says Rav Turnow, it does the Chassai and the Marach Ar Zarua, it does not work unless the person who's getting married is actually physically standing there. If the person who's physically getting married is standing there when the shliach gives the kiddushin and the shliach says the bracha seirusin, then the kiddushin works. But if the guy who's getting married is not there, he cannot do the kiddushin. Why? Let's see. He goes on and he says, because he says, now how does that work? This is one second. How come it works when the guy who's getting married is standing there? He says, because anyway, if I want to put on tefillin, and I'm in the back there, and I put on my tefillin, but I don't know the bracha, can you make the bracha for me? Answer is yes. Why? Because I'm doing the bracha, you are yotze, you're mitzvah of tefillin already, but you're helping me make the bracha. It's called yotze motzi. But I have to be there for you to allow to make the bracha. So in other words, if I'm in the back of the shul and I'm putting on tefillin, I put on the tefillin, but oops, I don't know what to do. So you're standing next to me and you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam. I don't have to repeat after you. I just have to say, Amen, and that works. So too by Kiddushin. The guy goes and marries the woman for you. You're standing right there. He does the Kiddushin. He makes the bracha for you. And you say, Amen, and it works.
He says,
okay, one second. We're going to get to all these mitzvahs. Hold on, a good point. V'chein barwik ner chanuk, he says. Im ruvein marwik nerosub shel Shimon. Reuven goes to Shimon's house and lights the candles for him. Kederach shergiun olam kasheish almana bebayis. Sometimes you have an older woman or an unfortunate woman who's not married anymore. Her husband died. She can't light herself. So someone and the neighbors come and they light for her. She says, Shelo yavarich elim kein yamod mishaleach betzido v'yotza beberchaso. It only works if the elderly woman, the almana, is there in the room when the shliach lights. That's what Rav Turnow says.
She could light for herself, right?
Of course she could light for herself. But she doesn't know, she's too scared, she doesn't want to make the bracha. Perfect. Says the Bach, we paskin like this, Rav Turnow. Says the Magen Avraham, we paskin like this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'll read you a line. Mishnah Berurah says the same thing as well. He says that nowadays, he says, Im omdim b'shah shemadwikin, if the person who owns the house is standing there when the bracha is made, then it works. He says, a man could go to an elderly woman's house, make the bracha for her. She must be standing there to make when the bracha is made. Asks all the Achronim, why does she need to be standing there? All mitzvahs, we have the concept of shlichus. If I say to you, it's a great idea. I don't want to get down on my hands and knees and do bedikas chametz in my house. I could give you millions of reasons why I don't want to crawl and get all the Cheerios that all my kids left in all the rooms of my house. So I go to you and I say, look, I'll pay you $10, $20, $30. Tell me your rate. $100. Yeah? And you come, get down on your hands and knees and make the bracha and do bedikas chametz in my house. And you know what I'm going to do when you're doing that? I'm going to the pizza store and having my last pizza before Pesach. Who makes the brach in that case? Huh? The shliach. Of course he makes the shliach. The shliach makes bracha. I'm not there. Of course it works. Why? Because the shliach is doing the actual physical mitzvah. He's getting on his hands and knees. He's doing it for me, but of course he makes the bracha.
The bracha's not
on you. Well, the bracha is technically on the owner of the house, but who's doing performing the mitzvah? The guy who's getting on his hands and knees. So too by Ner Chanukah. If the old woman is upstairs, or the old man is upstairs, and he can't light Hanukkah candles, and I walk into his house, and he tells me I can light. He can't hear a thing. He can't see a thing. Or she can't hear a thing. She can't hear. And I go and I light the Hanukkah candles. Who should make the bracha? Me. Says the Bach. Says Rabbi Isaac Turnow. That does not work. In a less that you drag that person from upstairs downstairs to watch Neres Hanukkah. Yeah.
The Ikur Mitzvah is that the house has been shut, not for the Baal Bais.
So comes along the Yad Efrayim. Comes along the Yad Efrayim, and his Sefer, and he says, about 200-300 years ago, I believe, he says like this. He says, there's a fundamental difference, he says, between, so he says like this. He says, let me ask you a question. If you put on tefillin for me, let's say I can't move my arms, so I ask you to come over to me and strap the tefillin physically around my body for me. Who makes the bracha? Gets very weird. Who makes the bracha? No, you strap it. So the halacha is that since tefillin is a mitzvah on the guf, on the person who's getting the tefillin wrapped around him has to make the bracha unless he's physically there and listens to the other guy making the bracha. In other words, the wrapper can wrap your hands, and he can make the bracha. You know why? That's not called shlichas. He's not my shliach. He's just assisting me in doing my mitzvah, but it's my mitzvah. I'm putting the tefillin on my arm. It's my bracha, my mitzvah. He's just doing it because of this concept of yatsa motzi. He's allowed to make mitzvahs for me as long as I am physically standing there. So says the Yad Efrayim, it's the same thing by Chanukah. Just like you have to wrap tefillin around your hand, you also have to have Chanukah licht by your house. But you don't have to be the one who physically lights it, just like I don't have to be the one who physically ties it. If you tie the straps around my arm, you can make the bracha because you're making it for me, not as my shliach. It's not a shliach. You're just making the bracha, and I'm listening to the bracha, and I'm being yotzei, saying amen, because you're saying the words for me. Same thing by the house. If you light the candles for the old person upstairs, that's not a shliach for them. A shliach, you're right, could make the bracha without the person standing there. This is as if you're wrapping the tefillin, you're lighting the house, the candles, for the person. So of course the person has to be there, just like you have to be there, like tefillin. Remember, this is a tefillin shiur the past few weeks, so I'm trying to tie it in to our tefillin topic. You see where we're going? Tie it in, oh, we like that. That was unintended, right? So we're now we've merged Chanukah and tefillin. So good. So everything is good. Says the Yad Efrayim. Okay, because wait, let's fit some Chanukah. One time, I'm not worried about Hashanah so fast. Yeah, 1 second. says of Shlomo Zalman, we follow this way. And Rav Eliashiv says, halacha l'maisa, if you go to that old person's house and that person is not downstairs when you light Chanukah licht, you, the shliach, cannot make the bracha for him. You can wait for him, but you can't make the bracha for him. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a very long, complicated tshuva, disagrees. He says that's not what this sugya is about. He says this sugya is only talking about two out of the three brachos, she'asa nisim and shechianu. Those brachos, you need to physically be there, or the person who's getting the mitzvah has to actually see the candles for have someone else make the bracha for him. So if the old person's upstairs, the shliach can't come in and say she'asa nisim for the old guy, because she'asa nisim avosenu, you have to see the candles. The old person didn't see the candles at the time that it's being made. It's kind of like a berachas shvach. But lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, that's no different than bir chametz, bedikas chametz. If you hire a shliach to do it, the shliach comes in, cleans your whole house, he makes the bracha, and you could be at the pizza store. And of course the shliach can make the bracha for you. Same thing by Chanukah. If you come into the old person's house, you light the candles and they're upstairs or they're at their children's house or they're not even there, whatever it is, then you can light Chanukah candles and make shlahadwik ner shal Chanukah for that person, which is a tremendous nafkamina halacha, how to paskin. I would just say, if you think about this, this may have another ramification for one more thing. We'll end with this. There's a big discussion, Rabbi Kiva Eger and other poskim, about do you have to be neurotic about after you light the candles to make sure that the flames don't go out. I know the halacha you're all going to scream at me is if they go out, you don't have to relight them. I agree. I assume you did it correctly. Fine. But in my house, I don't know about you, there's a lot of kids, a lot of dancing, a lot of running around. There's a good chance that the movement in my living room is going to help facilitate those candles going out. Now, it's a good, they're kosher when I light them, 100%. But do I have to make sure that my kids don't jump all over the couch by the candles and possibly blow out the candles or not? So it depends. If you say that the whole mitzvah is that physical act of lighting, which is what I think Rav Moshe Feinstein was learning, then there's no real issue about caring so much once the lighting is done, there's a kosher lighting. What happens afterwards, you don't need to care so much. But if you say like this chiddush of this Yad Ephraim, that it's not the actual physical act of lighting, it's that your house is lit, and if someone else does the lighting for you, then that would be fine, because he's doing your act of like wrapping or tefillin, then perhaps you have to ensure that those candles, again, you don't have to be crazy about it, but you should try to, as long as you can make those candles last, the mitzvah is not only the act of lighting, it's having them stay lit is part and parcel of the mitzvah. We should be zocha, we should be have the health that we are able to light our own Chanukah candles by ourselves and not need to rely upon a shliach. There is no shiur next week.